Snips. I didn't expect to see you so soon. I actually almost went with
Ahsoka.
Is that what this is about? You've learned nothing. Back to the beginning.
Back to the beginning.
I also love, like, is that what you're hung up about? How I murdered millions? Are we still hung up on this? I said sorry. Like, it's sorry.
Right.
I saw someone on, like, Twitter say, I'm sorry, Anakin, if this is a touchy subject for you, that it's out of, like an interviewer.
It's out of bounds.
Like, an interviewer sitting down with Anakin Skywalker would be afraid to ask the big question. So, we know about all the things, you know, all the things you did in your time at the Jedi Council. Yeah, it was great. All was, yeah, all right.
Can
great.
We roll the tapes
but,
of the younglings?
Of the younglings?
But,
let's see the...
Everyone saw it. We all saw it.
We all saw
what,
it.
What Anakin, what happened there? Oh, is that you still hung up about that? I said no questions about
it. Was
no questions about the most important thing that ever happened.
It was one bad tweet.
It was one bad tweet.
It was one bad tweet.
Ambien. Blame Ambien.
I always think that's funny. Even though the Anakin Ahsoka stuff's probably my favorite stuff of the whole series.
Right.
The whole series. But I feel
see,
like that
we,
was a good
we
good
live in duality. We love and we chastise and we ridicule.
Exactly.
Because some stuff's funny. But we love it.
Yeah.
That was their way of addressing it, but also saying, nah, we're not going to.
Exactly. We're not
going
to
dive into it.
Yeah.
An important lesson for her to learn. You are, if we are all of the just like all of us, or we are parts of, as I get older, there's things I do that I'm like, that looks a lot like my dad, or I walk similar to him. Ahsoka is, they talk about the Jedi being the culmination of not just her master, but her master's master and all this.
Yeah.
And it feels good to know that she is not just the bad parts, that she's not doomed to become what Anakin became, but she's also the good parts and that she can choose the path. And so I think that's always an important thing for not just that show, but also, we tie it to Rey, which we'll bring up a little bit of some Rey stuff coming up here in a little bit when we talk about future Star Wars news, but you're not who your father was. You're not who your teacher was. You are what you
choose to be.
Yeah. Thanks. That's it for
it's
us.
It's a good way to wrap it up. That's it. Wait, where can they find us?
Good night.
Anyway, welcome back to the Star Wars Guys podcast. As always, we are your hosts, Mike.
Hello there.
Nate. Hello there. And you know him well, Uncle.
Hello there.
We got the sick voice.
Yeah, we do.
Like that,
we
got hello
a little,
there.
Little sick that's voice little here. Like, I'm
Marty. This guy, a little Thor,
Simba.
A little Russell Crowe over
one
there.
Drop in.
Simba.
Simba.
That's your last cough drop, too.
It is.
You're sick. You're sick. What am I doing here?
Don't know.
Sick. No,
what,
we're...
Is that what this is about? Get me sick?
Welcome to the sick cast.
We're back.
Yeah.
We were
this
off there
the
for a little bit. And
hiatus.
We come
and
back as the sick council.
The sick council.
Sick council.
We're back. But no, we're excited to get into it. There's been some recent news. Filoni's got a new role at Lucasfilm.
Officially.
We're going to talk a little bit about Taika Waititi,
Mike
teased Rey. what's next for the High Republic. We're going to dive all into the future or what's next with Star Wars to come. Now with Ahsoka in the rearview mirror.
But. Yeah, I mean, when we were talking about this episode, and we've been off for a number of weeks around kind of Thanksgiving, and
why were we off
is,
again?
Well, this is my first podcast.
Well, I was partly responsible.
Back. Is this my first podcast back since? I think this is my first podcast back since my daughter, our little girl, was
on the paternity leave.
I was on Jedi. As a Jedi, I shall father no children. Psych! Oh, I will.
It was paid. We paid
I'll
him.
Do it again.
I'll do it again. Watch me.
Tempt me, Yoda. I'll do it again.
Did I tell you what I told my kids? So, Macy.
Yeah.
I said, you don't know this. Mace Windu's birthday is around the same time. So, that's why they named her Macy.
That's it.
And they believed me for 0 seconds.
What people don't know is her middle
that
name
long.
Is... It's her middle
like,
name
no,
is Windu. It's
Windu.
Macy Windu. Macy Windu.
That sells it.
Macy Windu, and then her. It's hyphenated.
Hyphenated.
Partially turned Anakin to the dark side. Messer.
That's
because we always like to
very
blame
common.
Mace Windu.
It's good to choose a classic name.
Yes.
Something
everyone will. Oh,
not hard to spell.
But yeah, when we were talking about this episode of our podcast. know, there's some time has passed now. There's a number of things I wanted to touch on. I want to touch on some of the kind of not massive Star Wars news, but there's little bits and pieces. I know Dave Filoni, and Hayden Christensen, and Rosario Dawson, a number of people were quoted in a recent Vanity Fair article, in the EW article, now that the strikes are over.
Yeah.
Because they can finally talk about the show. So a lot of, I mean, they couldn't, you know, even talk about their experience on the show, all these actors and writers and stuff. So we'll discuss some of the quotes there, some of the things maybe moving forward for Ahsoka and other things, because there's a little bit of some Daisy Ridley interviews, some Taika Waititi interviews. But then also just with now, kind of where I wanted to start briefly, we don't have to spend much time on it, but with Ahsoka in the rearview mirror, or like being removed now a little bit because we're a month, 2 months after it finished. Yeah. I like to sometimes go back. I think not just us on this podcast, but me in general on a lot of Star Wars stuff or movies in general. You have a quick reaction when you see something, you watch a movie, you come out of the theater and you think that might be the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then like 2 months later or really bad. Yeah. And then you see it again, and you go, oh, that's
right.
That's
better than I remember.
That's better than I remember. Or there's some movies like The Last Jedi that I saw and I thought,
oh, no,
I have to sit with this. Yeah, I have to sit with this. And it's grown more and more. And I love The Last Jedi. It's even, you know, it's strengthened. My love for it is strengthened over time. But I just wonder where now, you know, after looking at not only the other shows, but specifically Ahsoka right now, how do we feel about Ahsoka? Just one kind of final bow on the present that was Ahsoka that Dave Filoni and Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy
put a bow on it.
Gave us. What's your feeling? I know we were pretty high at the end of it. What are you feeling?
I'm still pretty high.
Yeah.
I think I feel the same way I felt while I was watching it and since it ended. I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it. I mean, with every project, there's certain things. So I'm like, oh, well, that was an interesting take or an interesting way to go about the story, or I didn't see that coming. But overall, the dialogue, the just breaking down everything between Ahsoka and Hayden Christensen, and then even the tease with him as the Force Ghost at the end, but diving into all of the Mortis stuff too, and leaving that as a literal cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I can't wait for them to continue the story.
Yeah. Same. You know, we talked about Andor being a more of a slow paced story, which I loved.
Yeah.
This, the story arc of all the characters, I'm interested in all of those.
All of them.
Yeah.
Like, there's some of them I'm not like, oh yeah, I kind of curious, but I'm not really.
Yeah.
You know, but this, I want to. They're all interesting stories to follow.
Yeah.
The one thing I made a mistake. I saw somebody create a slightly sped up version of the fighting. Have you seen that?
Yeah. I think you told me to look it up, and I think I looked it up somewhere.
No,
and I saw
it was pretty remarkable. Yeah. Slightly sped up, but that might just because somebody made it a little bit faster.
Yeah.
It feels now. I think. I wonder if it was a little.
Yeah.
But.
I think those are fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think even the pacing in general is definitely a little slow in those first few episodes, which we've talked about even then, like in the first few episodes. I think it kind of really, the show really hits its stride like episode 4. Like it's all good. It's all really good. We loved even the beginning. But like they spend a long time with Sabine looking at the map and like where then it's kind of like we're going.
Yeah.
But I loved the show. I think that it was, to me, it felt like a great blend of what we, and again, all these shows are imperfect. I think that maybe the most consistent quality might have been Andor kind of throughout, as far as just like there's not a peak that's like you know, Luke showing up at the end of Mando season 2 that I'm like, this is the rewatch moment that all of the internet's going to be talking about. Yeah. Which it's hard to do that with a prequel show anyways, because you know what comes afterwards. Yeah. But it was like, it kind of hit, it like start off strong and kind of stays at this steady, Where I think maybe Obi-Wan's a little bit more up and down, where like the peaks are super high and they're some of
it
my favorite things.
It has the moments
things.
I'll go back, and it has the moments the episode.
I think even Boba, right, I mean, right, I think right. that, I think it's become the popular thing now to say like the Boba Fett wasn't any good, or but like.
That finale was sick.
Well, not even just that. Like right. you have the finale, you also have like, I was watching the other day just a couple of clips on YouTube, or a couple of clips on Disney Plus of Cad Bane. In like when he first walks out and shows up in the desert,
yeah, that was
stranger in a strange land. All this stuff, you're like, this is incredible. But like, Boba. So you kind of forget like this. That show was great. Yes, I do admit I think that show probably had its lowest valleys as far as the low points. Like maybe
but
had
it
moments.
Definitely has those rewatchable
Obi-Wan
moments.
Has some moments that also feel like, oh man, if this little chase was a little more sped up, it might feel a little, might feel a little bit heightened stakes or feel a little more fantastical about it.
Right.
But this show felt like it was in even Mando season 3. Definitely has its moments, I think, that's like, not my favorite episode. Mm-hmm. And then like, whoa, that was incredible.
Yeah.
And this show kind of felt like it was a little bit more in the closer to, I think, consistent to maybe closer to Andor as far as, even though they're very different shows. It didn't feel like I'm like swinging from episode to episode, like amazing. And then, oh man, what a, like that was kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I had letdowns in the show. It was like there's moments of dialogue or acting or decisions that I'm like, I'm not sure if that's how that was supposed to be played, or maybe that's not my, I wish they would have done this, but more like, oh, I wish we had spent more time with that character.
Yeah,
here.
I want to keep going.
I want to keep going here. Yep. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. I loved it. And what's interesting
is it your guys' favorite live action, you think?
Ooh.
It might be.
Overall?
I mean, I think
that is kind of where my question was going. Is like, as far as, now that we're removed, when I saw Rogue One and I walked out of the theater, I think I said that might be the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I still love Rogue One,
mm-hmm.
but if you ask me my list, it's usually not at the top of my list of the Star Wars. So I'm wondering, is this a show like that that you're like, okay, now that I'm stepped
and
back,
Last Jedi was not at the top when I walked out, and now it is.
Yeah,
now
there's. So similar feeling. Is this, now that you step back, do you, not that you always have to have a list, but like, do you think like, I clearly put this over Obi-Wan, or I clearly put this over Mando?
You have a list.
You have a list.
You're either with me or against me.
Only
a Sith and I deal in absolutes.
That's what that was.
The list might change daily, but you have a list.
Well, you have one.
Is that what this is about? Are you a Sith, Obi-Wan? I knew it.
I knew it.
I don't know. I think my love for Andor and that just the style of that show actually in some ways makes me even appreciate the other shows even more. Because we've talked about this, one of the great things about Star Wars is just the diversity within the, you can go with so many different genres of storytelling that you can go almost way more sci-fi with Ahsoka and the Mortis gods than you watch Andor. And I'm like, how is this the same?
We freak out over one TIE fighter.
Yeah. One TIE fighter. We're like, I felt it.
No, right.
And then in this, we've got Ahsoka waking up in the world between worlds. It's like, this universe is so vast that, because like, I love Andor so much, and it's so much different than Ahsoka, but it almost makes it me appreciate jumping from the different genres, because I'm like, I love getting the variety.
Yeah.
If every single show that came out had the same theme and feeling and vibe of Andor, then I'd be like, oh, well, this is kind of getting stale.
Yeah.
But the fact that we can jump around makes me be like, oh, this is, I love eating from this platter, and I like eating from that platter. Yeah. It's just, nice to have the variety.
Yeah, definitely. I felt that even the most, maybe after seeing this show coming off of Mando 3, because as much as I love
you loved Mando 3.
No, as much as I love The Mandalorian, though, I do think at the end of Mando 3, I did start getting the feeling a little bit of, I am
Where's
glad.
Mando going?
Well, not even just that, but like also just the vibe of it, which I really like. I am glad that this is not the feeling and the type of show that every Star Wars show is going to be.
The reason why, because
I think it has its great things about it, and then there's also its moments that I liked in Ahsoka, that when we go into walk into some Imperial officers, I'm not looking for like Tim Meadows, and like even though I think that's a fun thing, there are times I think that it takes me out of Mando a little bit of like, it feels definitely a little bit more almost, there's almost like a sketch comedy to it, or like a there's a little bit of like feeling like it's not, it's taking me out of the myth because I am so aware.
Yeah.
That, oh yeah, this is the SNL host of the week who's now in, like, it feels like it feels like that a little bit sometimes. And again, I think sometimes it's played brilliantly. Like, I don't feel that way about seeing Carl Weathers' character.
Mm-hmm.
But when you throw a Jack Black. Yeah, when you throw a Jack Black or you throw some of these guys that, like, oh, even though I love Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd coming in for
30 minutes to film or something, and right. I'm really, the whole time I'm going, that's Doc Brown. Like,
wow,
and I'm,
right.
and I'm, you know, I'm thinking about it a lot. But I like that. So I do like that this feels a little bit, and it feels a little bit less episode to episode. This feels like a, here's Filoni who has a story, who
Mando
knows
definitely
he wants
feels
to tell
more
a story.
We're serving the story rather than a vehicle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that there's room for both. It's not that, because I think Mando has, especially in its first couple seasons, I think really succeeded in its own style.
Well, Ahsoka didn't knight Grogu, so.
That's true.
It's true. They would have. Well, one of the things about Star Wars, it kind of makes it Star Wars in a way, is that we introduce actors that we don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what we did in 4, kind of did that in the prequels a little bit, but and then again in the sequels too. But that to me is one of the features of it. So we see that in Andor somewhere.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Helps you suspend disbelief,
and
too, because then you see,
too,
you think
right.
the character as the character.
And you can't get attached. You're like, oh, they could.
Especially when it's
go anytime.
Like these new characters.
So. New characters, right. Mm-hmm.
And again, doesn't mean they have to be completely unknowns either. Like, Ray Stevenson is an actor who's been around and has done a lot of things. He was phenomenal. He's definitely one of the high points of Ahsoka, of the Ahsoka show. And I'm not thinking like, oh, yeah, that's the guy that I've also seen being Thor's friend in the first Thor movie, which that is one of the things he's been in. Speaking of Ray Stevenson's character, I saw Filoni was talking about he was talking in this Vanity Fair article about Ray Stevenson and the future of Baylan Skoll. And there's some quotes in here that I think gives me hope, and some other things I'm like, I'm a little bit not concerned, like, oh, I'm concerned they're making the wrong decision, but like, I don't think it's a set in stone that we're going to see some the continuation
more
of some of it. We might, but here's the quotes that Filoni had. Dave Filoni on Ray Stevenson and the future of Baylan Skoll. Obviously, there's a story there. Right now, we're in a wait and see pattern at this point, but I'm glad the conversation is about Ray and how great he was. And he goes on to say, this was a funny part of it. He goes on to say, I used to have many debates with Ray, and I'd have to tell him, Ray, you're the villain here. And he would argue with me and be like, no, I don't think so. And I was like, I don't think, he said, I know you don't. Filoni said,
That's
I would respond, I know you don't think so, but you are. And I love you're playing it like you're not, which is exactly the way Baylan thinks. But I like that Filoni is also like kind of.
He wasn't just buying into the character. He's like, no, I really don't think.
Yeah, and I like that Filoni didn't go, not to throw, you know, Colin Trevorrow under the bus with his episode 9 script, but didn't go the way of
having
like,
said that.
Yeah, but didn't go the way of like.
I will.
Filoni knows that, no, we are very clear that when in Baylan's first scene, when he and Shin come off of the ship, and there's guards that are unarmed, and you stab them with a lightsaber, you're the villain.
Yeah, welcome
that's
to the villain
That's not a Jedi
side.
Thing. That's not a good guy thing. That's not a gray area thing of, well, maybe they kill, but they're also, because this is different.
They
it's
kill
also,
with morals.
This is not a Han Solo, he knows Greedo's there to kill him and has a blaster on him, and he beats him to the punch.
Yeah.
This is, we are no Jedi. And like, love the fact that they're just murdering these people. You're a bad guy. But I like the way that any classic bad guy doesn't think that they're the bad guy, right? That's what makes them so compelling is that they don't go around saying, Yeah, I'm just a bad guy. They think that they're the good guy.
Mm-hmm. And this show did a good job of starting off hot with those two characters.
Yeah.
And then slowly peeling back the layers of like, oh wait, he actually does have some sort of code that he follows. Or thinks he follows.
I'm with Ray a little bit because Andor is the good guy, right?
Yes. No, that's true.
And one of the first times we see him, he shoots his friend in the gut and then climbs out.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think maybe it's a little trickier as a Jedi because you're supposed to kind of hold yourself to a higher.
Your saber's red.
I think it's a rule.
Or even tinted.
Or even orangish red.
Yeah.
If you're close to red.
But I like that. We were talking about Hunger Games. We saw the new Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And I don't think good villains have necessarily bad intentions at the bottom. Some do.
Yeah.
But there's a reason. They have a reason why.
Yeah.
And there's an end goal that they think is something good at the end.
Yeah. Most
feel the ends justify the means.
Well,
and
even Thanos.
They do whatever they can to get to the end.
Exactly.
Thanos had a similar.
Yeah.
Or they don't even start that way.
They don't.
When I was watching.
No, you know, villains aren't born villains. Something pushes them that direction.
I mean, I was watching Hunger Games. Obviously, it's a prequel story of how he becomes evil, you know, essentially. And while I'm watching it, it reminded me a lot of, like, Anakin's arc of, like, I don't want to become this. And then, inevitably, it's exactly who you became.
Yeah. You do it.
Like, Anakin
there's reasons.
Saw these visions and didn't want to allow the evil to happen. And that's what drove him mad down this path.
To try to prevent something bad.
Trying so hard to prevent it, he ends up causing everything to happen the way it did.
Yep.
Yeah. It's so.
That's cool.
So I thought that was interesting. And then any thoughts on him saying, like, oh, yeah, we're kind of wait and see. Do you think that they're going to recast? Or do you think that they're kind of going to. Maybe he'll do something in animation or something later. Do you think that it's.
It's a double-edged thing. The love expressed for the character and the fact that
they do
died,
animation.
It makes them hesitant to just go, we'll just throw somebody else in there.
Also, the fact that people were so in love with the performance of the character, it's not a guarantee that whoever they cast, that everyone's going to
be great.
Yeah, bring him back.
That's exactly right.
People are so attached because of how good
he was.
I think it's. It's
just like I wouldn't be like, just recast Heath Ledger's Joker because he's a great character.
Can't do it.
Well, Heath Ledger made it a great character.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, even though the Joker's been a great character in comics and stuff forever, but, like, you don't want to just do it because you think, oh, yeah, because I want more of that. You're not going to get more of that. You might get more of something similar that's really good. So we'll see. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I think like you guys are saying, I think it's tough because obviously you don't want to just jump in and announce a recast, even if they plan to do that. You have to kind of go about it in a respectful way.
Yeah.
And I don't think there'd be a ton of people that just hate on them if they did choose to do that because so many people love the character so much. They would like to see it continue in some ways, maybe even honoring Ray. It's like you put in the work of this character and did such a good job. So many people love it that we want to see
it
continue.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be necessarily, I don't think, like, ill intentions to recast if that's what they end up choosing to do. But if they did go like an animation route, that is tough because then it's like they already have something in line animation wise or are now they creating a story of animation to continue this or creating a show of animation or something to continue this story because.
But like a Tales of the Jedi, like a Tales of the Jedi though?
Yeah, it would.
Because you don't have to make a show just for him, but you could make an episode. Showing
continuing
that character,
that.
Just like you've done a Dooku character, you've done these other things that...
I think it's just, we don't know the story or what Dave, you know, had in mind, but I do think part of it will have to do with where did he see that story going in terms of its relation to Ahsoka?
Yeah.
Like, was Baylan's character with potentially, you know, Mortis and the father... Was that going to be the next big part of Ahsoka's story? Because how she teases it at the end is, and we're here for a reason too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Ezra's back where he needs to be, and he's there for a reason.
That's right.
We're stuck here, but we're also here for a reason. And it kind of points towards the Mortis God. So if that was where the story was going, and it was going to be a huge vital role for Ahsoka,
gotta recast.
Then you've got to figure something out. But if we'll see. More, if they were able to do it so that she still goes on and does kind of something else, and then that was his, then maybe they could tell that story in a different medium. I don't know.
We're almost to the era where, and part of the negotiation of the SAG strike was how to deal with after you die.
Yeah.
How do we deal with this digital self that they can create?
Yeah.
I don't think we're quite there yet to make it, but 5 or 10 years, they could just make a digital version of that person to continue. I think it's going to be, we're getting there with what we're seeing. So, but I don't know. His role is so big.
Yeah.
It would be hard to do that now. Yeah. And I don't know if they would do that anyway.
Clearly, like respectfully, you don't like. You don't know if they would even.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Yeah.
Clearly, with him fighting Ahsoka twice in the show, and neither time he died, to me that means Filoni had big plans for moving forward. Not like big plans, like there's a Baylan movie coming or something. But it could have been even part of the plans for the movie coming out.
Could be.
Or for Ahsoka season, but it was big enough that this is a villain that he easily could have. Not because they would have any idea what would happen.
And was
right,
obviously
in real life.
Pointing towards something bigger with the Mortis God.
Like,
that's a big thing.
Yeah.
The fact that he fights her twice, and twice she doesn't get him.
It ends in him.
Feels like, I remember thinking when he was fighting her the second time, I thought, no, don't die, because I was hoping that there's something big coming. And then he survives. To me, it was like, in my mind, check. Good. That means there's a big payoff. And then they did have the payoff at the end of the episode. That was kind of, obviously the cliffhanger for the season. Interesting follow-up on this. In a different article in EW, Dave Filoni addressed the possibility of a second season of Ahsoka. And here's his quote that's kind of interesting. "I've set up several threads that can continue. But if not, I feel like, well, at least I got Ezra home, and that was really important. But there's always a plan." So, interesting. Again,
why was that really important?
Getting Ezra home?
Yeah.
That was just the whole point.
Ahsoka's not home.
No, I know, but
Dave, Ahsoka's not home.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that was the point.
I mean, because
that was
getting Ezra home was the big cliffhanger going all the way back to Rebels. That's why.
Yeah.
That was that. He had to get Ezra home.
He got.
But now Ahsoka and Sabine are not home.
Yeah.
Right.
So Thrawn is.
He got Thrawn home.
It's a classic 2-for-1 trade.
But again, so interesting. I don't think this. It doesn't mean this. Doesn't sound like they're for sure not doing a second season, but it doesn't sound like it's a home run that they're doing a second season either, that they're trying to figure out if they're going to do a second season before the movie. Obviously, the movie, I think, is still a handful of years down the road.
Yeah.
Disney
I think
Plus.
That's the next project that comes out in a few months.
Yeah,
right.
It's in the works.
There's not any.
Disney Plus was down to $387 million lost last quarter.
Down to lost, yeah.
Yeah, so they're making progress. 150 million subs.
Well,
wow.
That might lead into our conversation right now of future of Star Wars stuff.
150 million.
Future Star Wars stuff.
We're getting there.
I know. Did you guys see that Daisy Ridley had an interview recently talking about her? She was asked about her movie.
Really?
And she said,
"What movie?"
About her upcoming 15 years after the Rise of Skywalker Rey film. And I wish I had screenshotted the exact quote, but I did read it, so I remember what it said. That helps, by the way. If you read things,
you
sometimes
read stuff,
you just learn.
You can be a learner of things.
I don't need my phone as a crutch, but I will look at it. No, I don't have it. She said, she was asked about it, and she said a couple of things. One, that she's really excited about it. She has read the story. She knows the story. And she said, now, there's not a finished script. That stuff takes time. So I haven't read the complete script. But the story that's been told to me and was pitched to me she said, I know the story of, her quote was, I know the story of one film. Hmm. And then she said, now, that's not to say that it's for sure only going to be one film. Perhaps it could be others. That's not my decision. But I know the story of one film. and it was not at all what I expected. That's what she said. She said, she said,
she's going dark.
She said it was not at all what I expected, and I think people are going to be really excited about that. That was like her quote. She also said, I'm excited about it. To my knowledge, again, I don't decide these things, but to my understanding, I believe it is the next film that'll come out. That's what she said. Which was kind of what we had thought based on what they did at Star Wars Celebration. But again, confirmation, I think that that's coming before this Filoni film. So kind of the main things could be more than one film. Cause I think she was actually asked in the interview, is this a trilogy? And she said, well, I know the story of one film. Again, maybe, and I think that's good. I think that's good by Lucasfilm as far as I think that they've gotten ahead of themselves sometimes announcing here's the Rian Johnson trilogy coming. And then when you pull back, it's like, now you're not canceling one movie, you're canceling three movies.
Right. Here's the Kevin Feige movie. Here's the Taika movie.
Did you hear Kevin Feige finally officially was asked about his Star Wars? Are you doing a Star Wars movie? And he said, no.
He's out.
He said, I'm not doing Star Wars.
He said, no, I have to rebuild the shambles of the MCU.
Yeah, really? I'm not sure I'm making an MCU movie at this point.
He said, at this point, I'm getting kicked out.
Right.
I thought that was exciting. Her saying that it's a story that a lot of these actors usually say, like, oh, it was exciting. That's kind of actor talk a lot. Yeah. But her actually saying, it's not what I expected.
Yeah.
And I think people are going to be really excited about that. We don't have to make like predictions or anything. But
I'm excited about that.
Also, 50. I was thinking about this the other day. 15 years, because I was thinking, oh man, are they're gonna like make up age or up? Because it's supposed to be 15 years. And I was like, no, it's just when
it's gonna come out. They
actually filmed.
You go back and watch The Force Awakens. She looks so young.
I know it.
Well, if you look at Force Awakens, was came out in 15. It actually was filmed. It filmed in like 13 mm-hmm. into 14. A good 15 months ahead is when they gave the first teaser trailer for The Force Awakens. It's like the biggest. You'll never see a trailer that far in advance anymore. They do them like, you know, 6 months, Spider-Man, Spider-Man, Home
was like 2 months before.
Like, oh, we forgot. Solo never even gave us a trailer, basically. They're like, oh, I forgot. We have a movie coming out. They didn't promote it at all. But you think of going how young she was very early. She's like 23 or something when you start. Maybe even younger, 22, 23. But from 13 to now, we're at 2023 going on 2024. This film's going to come out in 2020. I mean, yeah.
It might
look this
maybe
way. This film is going to come out in 2020, at the earliest, 2026.
Yeah. A little bit of makeup.
So, but 2026 to 2019, that's 7 years already. We're already halfway to 15. Right. So it's like she is actually aged in real life. The amount that you would have to just increase her aging, makeup wise or whatever, if you wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny because when that first happened, I was thinking, like, oh, she's going to have to look a lot older. Like, oh, that's just,
nah.
No. So just keep the pace of what they're doing.
Yeah. Keep going.
It'll come out. But Taika's movie will come out in 2038. Taika had a quote that said,
that's insane.
He was asked about.
Those are Cameron years.
Although Cameron has followed up his. Cameron's like, be patient, and I'm going to just make.
How can you do that? That's insane.
Taika had a quote about he had his next goal wins, his soccer movie that just came out. And so he was being interviewed about his comedic soccer movie. I didn't see it, but he was being interviewed about Star Wars.
Sounds like
Star
a Taika.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make a soccer movie.
Soccer comedy.
He was asked about this Star Wars movie. And
it's called
he
football.
Said,
it's football.
He said that. I mentioned this to you, I think, yesterday when we were talking that. He said, I have a handful of other projects that I have to finish first. So it makes it sound like, yes, again, this is still way down the line.
Way down.
A handful
line.
Of other
Jar Jar
things.
Jar Rabbit 2.
Oh, Jar Jar Rabbit. That would be great if he had
Return of
Hitler.
it's a CGI Hitler.
But what I can tell you is it will be a Taika Waititi movie, and that's going to make a lot of people mad. That's what he said in his interview. Wow, that's funny. I think he's kind of pushing back a little bit.
I know people are really hard on him about Love and Thunder.
Yeah. Tyka's too jokey, and Tyka's like, I've always been jokey.
Yeah.
But he said it will be a Tyka. But I can tell you, it will be a Tyka Waititi movie, and that's gonna make people mad.
I saw the quote he said about doing Ragnarok.
Peter.
Did you see that?
You mean about saying that he did it for the money?
He said, I took the MCU Thor Ragnarok movie because I had no money. I was broke. I needed to make money.
He said,
the
I'm an indie filmmaker, and I thought, oh, this I need to feed my kids. I need to pay bills.
Most of us work for that reason.
Yeah.
Also, if that's your work when you're doing it just for the money, do it for the money all the time because Ragnarok is incredible.
It's awesome.
Ragnarok's so still like a top 5 to 6 MCU movie probably ever. It's just so good.
It's great.
So who knows? Again, Tykus is still apparently still out there, but it's a while.
She's talking about if it's more than one movie. Episode 4 could have been. I was just thinking.
That's exactly.
In alternate universe, Episode 4 is the only movie.
Yep.
Star Wars A New Hope, it's the only movie they make. It stands totally by itself.
Totally.
Yeah.
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 It's interesting.
I think that it's a good. I think it'd be good for the movie to be like that. Like if they make this film in that way.
It's hard to do, though.
It is hard to do. But
wrap
it's
it
also,
up at least.
It's also
options.
Hard to
yeah.
intentionally end on a cliffhanger. George did that for the second one because then he's.
We were already in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only question going into 3 was, or going into 6, going into Jedi, was just if Harrison was going to return.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he had to freeze him in carbonite.
Yeah.
He wasn't sure if he would come back again. I mean, I think it'd be exciting if the Rey film. One just comes out. I like though that they're like, let's try to focus on making a great movie.
Leave everybody alive.
Yeah.
And then you can go another direction.
Yeah.
Is it gonna be another Skywalker movie? Was that just for the end of this?
That's
Rey Skywalker.
I mean that's
like Rey won't be the main character.
No, I mean
it's gonna be episode 10.
Because if she's in it,
it's a
continuation. It's not a
Skywalker
saga.
That's what makes me think if if she's not the main character, they can get away with it not being Skywalker saga, but she's in it, but now we're following
the main character, somebody else.
So it's not part of the...
Yeah. It won't be a Skywalker.
It'll be a Skyrunner.
Skyrunner. Starkiller.
Skyrunner!
So when we're thinking about the future of Star Wars movies, I know Bob Iger had another quote this week, which he said, I think in like 2020 also, but he said this week, like it was this week or last week in a shareholders thing, was that we are very much focused on quality over quantity right now with Disney in general.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, MCU, we talked about the MCU. MCU is way pulling back.
Shambles.
You know that Nate loves this MCU and shambles thing.
I love the beef.
But they're way pulling back because they got spread. Kevin Feige got spread way too thin.
Well, they just had their lowest box office, I think, ever.
Well, and also, but it's also been trending that way, too.
Yeah.
This isn't like a one hit.
People predicted it.
Well, I think even the Disney Plus shows in general, unfortunately, have all taken a significant viewership drop. I know that they showed that Ahsoka was way down from like, compared to like an Obi-Wan or
Secret Invasion.
Mando season 3 was way down compared to its other seasons.
Although Loki went up because everyone loved Loki. But it just shows you, if you make a good show.
I mean, the MCU has only one film right now, one film scheduled to come out next year, which is Deadpool 3, which is probably going to be great. But it's also an example that even the other companies within Disney, so it's not just a Lucasfilm thing, but they're like, listen, because streaming has changed stuff so much in positively and negatively sometimes, because you know, one, it hurts box office when you know that, oh, if I just wait, if I'm just patient, this is just going to show up in my lap at home and I can just watch this. There are a lot of people that don't feel like,
it'll be next month because the next thing will come out. It's like there's been so much.
Well, talking about that for Star Wars, it is interesting that we don't know the release date. This is the first time in a long time that we don't know the release date for the next, not just
project.
Film, anything. We know things that are in the can. We know they've finished Acolyte. We know they've finished Skeleton Crew. There's been announcements, I think, of when Acolyte's coming out. Skeleton Crew hasn't even been mentioned. Like, as far as when they're, I saw some people like, did they just finish this? And they're like, we don't know what to do with the show yet. Like, they haven't announced anything as far. They took its release date off, you know, kind of during all the strike stuff, which happened to a lot of different projects that they're, like, waiting to release it or waiting to give a new release date. But it is interesting that, you know, looking at streaming as far as where we were, like, let's say a year or so ago, or, about a year ago, when you're like, oh, man. In the next year, year and a half, we have announced already that, not just announced, but we know, like, filmed, actors talking about. We have, at the time, it was like, we have Mando 2. We have Book of Boba Fett. We have Ahsoka. Andor. We have Ahsoka. We have Obi-Wan. And there's five right there. And they had already announced Acolyte at that point. They just hadn't shown anything of it. But, like, and we have Acolyte. There's six. Where now, we don't really know the future of Mando as far as...
We don't know.
We don't really know that. I know Pedro Pascal. Did he get officially cast as Reed Richards? Or they're just talking about him as Reed Richards? Did you hear for him being Fantastic Four?
I think he...
There was a quote.
Not officially
I read
cast,
something about it.
But
I heard that people saying that, did you hear that there was a report that said
like
that he might...
Front runner or something.
And that he might pull back from Mando because of that? Like that he... That as far as seeing his face, the article headline was that we may have seen the last of Pedro Pascal's face in The Mandalorian if he's confirmed to do that. And I'm like, what? To me, that's a bummer because it's like, we didn't see his face this year.
Right.
But, like, there are some things that I'm like, it kind of feels like we've tried to water
on
Mandalorian
a little bit. They built up so much in the first two seasons of him taking the helmet off. I thought it was all leading to a point where it would just...
That's it.
He would take it off all the time. And they completely digressed.
Well, not to be overly critical. Yeah, not to be overly critical, but we do like to point out, like, oh, this kind of was a weird decision. I do think that this season of Mandalorian had a few different things that I'm like, oh, that feels like we almost created a character arc to solve something that already had been solved. Like, the end of season two was... The emotional attachment I've learned, these are religious.
Taking my helmet off was worth it because it made the connection.
These are zealots. Yeah. Like, they've been referred to as the zealots. And instead, like, this season, it's he then reverts completely back, has to, like, ask for forgiveness, digs his heels in, and is like, I'm never taking it off again.
And Grogu's like,
oh, man. And
Grogu's like, why'd I come back? Why'd I come back?
Right. So that did feel a little...
In fact, they're going to put one on Grogu. Bringing him
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
And Pedro's going to do the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So there's... I mean, looking forward, it's just... It is strange to think. We know Andor Season 2. I think that's going to be... That's 2024. They've finished filming Season 2. So I'm excited
for that.
They
all have helmets
I think Barbie just ruined everything.
ruined everything
for a film or just
in
life.
Good, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying it ruined everything because now, like MCU Star Wars, they kind of had an idea. Like, okay, we know what works, and then Barbie comes out. Like, we don't have any idea what to do.
Barbie
and there's
Oppenheimer
so many,
comes out and blows.
There's
the
so
world
many
away.
Movies now. They're not even. They have it finished. It's in their hand, and they say we're not going to put it out. We're going to bury it.
Yeah,
I read report after report about. The risk of taking a finished, completely finished,
and
releasing it, the money spent to just release it in the theaters, and then the shame when it fails, it's so risky now.
I mean,
nobody wants to do it.
Completely, the Batgirl movie.
Batgirl, they said that
completely
film,
finished. They done. Showed it to theaters. They showed it to test audiences,
and then they,
and
go,
they hated
no.
it so
they
much.
They actually
said
that
no,
they thought
out.
That it was such a risk for the studio and for the actors and director involved. That it's better if this never sees the light of day because they might not recover from it. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Career
like, this
ending.
Is so bad.
That's the status of making a movie today.
Career ending.
Jaws would never get made.
Yeah.
No, Star Wars would never get made.
There are movies.
Way
right
too
now.
Risky.
Yeah,
there's
even
no
the movies
way
that
they
felt
would make
like
Star
an
Wars
automatic,
today.
Almost like an. Going back a handful of years, and I think this is interesting. This is good to kind of go into this bigger conversation of. The film industry and the TV industry has changed significantly. Box office has changed so significantly. We were at a stretch. Talking about the MCU again. Star Wars was the same thing. There was a stretch where it felt like, I mean, even I remember it being like alarming to me almost, or not alarming, but like surprised when Solo didn't make it was the first Star Wars movie that didn't come near what it's project what they thought it was going to make. Mm-hmm. Now, that had a number, we talked about this before. There's a number of things that stacked up against that movie because I really like Solo.
Yeah.
But it was the release date against Infinity War. Like, literally its own... They didn't promote
there
it.
There was still
it's
a thought of...
Lost Jet,
it's
Last,
a Star Wars
Jedi.
Movie. That was still in there.
But to me, yeah. It's a Star Wars movie. It's It'll a Star Wars fine. Movie. It's going to make $1 billion.
That's what they were thinking, too.
Yeah, and I thought so, too, of, like, Star Wars movies crush it. Crush mm-hmm. it. And it had a huge opening weekend still. Especially compared to now. You look at movies now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, aside from the phenomenon that was Barbie and Oppenheimer, which did you see Oppenheimer now is like very close to actually reaching $1 billion as a
it's re-releasing again.
As a
as a
rated R 3-hour biopic.
Historical biopic.
Historical I saw someone say what does someone call it? The nerd Avengers. It's a science Avengers movie. Yeah, let's get all the best. I've got this
that's
quantum.
Exactly what it
like,
is.
It's like I've got this.
It's the MCU.
I got this quantum.
The nerd cinematic universe.
I've got this quantum specialist.
The MCU is is all of Christopher Nolan's movies.
They're like I've got this quantum. Nolan. This quantum specialist. Scott Lang? No, an actual.
No,
not a superhero. An actual, just a scientist. We're gonna get them together. We're gonna create.
And they're
something,
gonna talk
and we're
gonna
about
save stuff.
The world. Or we're gonna like
by talking.
And that
awesome.
Makes a billion.
We're gonna have an explosion. Oh, like a bunch of explosions. No, just one.
That makes a billion. That makes $1 billion, I absolutely love that film.
Nothing is fun.
That makes $1 billion, and they're already talking about. I mean,
Oppenheimer 2.
Well, no,
Oppenheimer 2. Already talking about it.
About how like Aquaman 2, which is coming out. Is already projected. The first Aquaman movie made $1.2 billion, which is crazy.
That is insane.
But they're talking about the projections opening weekend for Aquaman to be, I almost said Opera Man, which is, of course, Adam Sandler. Opera Man!
Yeah.
Is the projections opening weekend are like 35 to 40 million, which for an average movie is great.
Right.
For a superhero movie is very bad, and for a movie that was... I mean, the first Miss Marvel made $1 billion. Not Miss Marvel. Captain Marvel made $1 billion. The second one's not going to make like $200 million.
And people didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, so it is changed. There was a time when MCU had put up like 20 movies in a row without a miss. Pixar.
Yeah.
Without a miss.
Yeah.
It was like Pixar
Uncle
movies can be
said
great.
It right earlier. I mean. They don't. Hollywood doesn't know what to make anymore.
No,
and I think part of it is the post COVID movie going has gone down.
Yeah,
some, but I do think
in
part
a way
of it is also just the nature of the streaming and what does big cinematography like? What does big cinema look like? What does a blockbuster look like anymore?
Yeah, it. I mean, these things happen. These shifts happen. In a way, I don't want anybody to fail. I don't like that.
Yeah,
I like
to
see movies do well, and they put a lot of work in them. I don't want to see
making movies
them
is
do
difficult.
Poorly. But it is. It does say something to the creative nature of movie making.
Yeah.
We're shifting back. It used to be sequels and superheroes. That was it.
Yeah.
You go to the movie for sequels and superheroes, exactly, and now it's not working, and they have to tell stories again. So they have to tell Barbie.
You're seeing a creative
shift. Barbie's based on something kids remember, but there's still an interesting... dynamic.
Yes, it's a very saw it. It's a very whatever you think of the movie, it's very unique. I've never seen any movie like
so
it.
So they're not
very,
telling the same. They're not just telling the same story.
Yeah.
And Oppenheimer. So in a way, it's pushing us back to the telling us a story again.
Yeah.
An entertaining story.
No, you're exactly
definitely.
Right.
They still don't know what that is, though. They don't know what it looks like.
And it is hard because it's not. The days are definitely gone too.
The only
safe just
thing
like
is Christopher Nolan.
That's right.
Christopher Nolan he's such a, again, he's one of my favorite filmmakers ever, but he has such a good taste of finding the line of a unique, interesting, that is also going to get people talking about it, that gets people to, like, his movies are see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
but it is interesting that not even all directors, but not even all like legendary directors have had the same success. Scorsese with Killers of the Flower Moon made like $50. Like they're talking about
it was one ticket.
I mean, they're talking about it being nominated for a ton of Oscars, but they also
which
said
is also
it's
Leonardo
like,
DiCaprio, who was
this is Leo,
not
this
anymore.
This is Leo. This is Robert De Niro.
Yeah,
they're talking about that movie being like the biggest financial flop of Scorsese's career,
and that was but Apple TV. That was Apple TV Plus backed or Apple TV backed, wasn't it?
Apple TV.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, obviously,
Apple
I saw,
TV Plus.
I saw
TV Plus. Apple TV Plus.
I saw trailers and stuff, but I don't remember seeing like
TV Plus Max.
Having those the big names like Leo and stuff and Scorsese, it made me, I don't know if the marketing was that like I saw trailers, but I don't remember like Oppenheimer and stuff. I'm like, obviously it's everywhere.
Yeah,
the marketing they had for that was with the I mean it did
the Barbenheimer
help.
Was
it did
incredible
help with the
marketing.
Barbenheimer stuff, but right. Even beside that, I don't know if it's just because it was Christopher Nolan, but you could tell they put a lot of money behind the marketing.
Yeah. You know. I think The Irishman hurt. I
yeah, I still haven't seen The Irishman, but I know you saw it.
I thought it was comical. Felt like it was not. Goodfellas is one of my favorite. You know, you have guilty pleasures. I watch Goodfellas now, like hard to watch. I don't look at certain parts just because it's. But that's just gangster movie, Scorsese. Yeah. But I don't think it carries the same. You can't just throw Scorsese and De Niro out there, and it doesn't. I mean, that was 30 years ago.
Hold the same weight.
I don't know if you guys have seen The Departed. Anymore. I love The Departed.
Same
The Departed's
thing.
Really good.
Yeah.
But that is a loaded, that's a loaded cast that feels like, even with a loaded cast today, loaded casts don't mean that it's going to make.
People aren't going to drop $15
because
for Scorsese.
It's changed a lot. There was a time when if you knew Denzel was in a movie, people would go see just because of Denzel
or Tom Hanks. Yeah.
Equalizer even 8. Tom Hanks movies now, it's not like, oh, Tom Hanks movie, it's going to be a financial success.
Right,
like, it might be a pretty good movie because Tom Hanks usually...
Well, we talked about this before. I mean, you used to go to a movie for the movie star.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
That's right.
Like, if this person, Tommy Hanks.
Tommy Hanks.
You're going to watch Tommy Hanks. Didn't matter what it is. Now it's I think because of the nature of the superhero and sequels, that has kind of changed a little bit. I mean, you have actors that are like your favorite actors, and you would probably be more interested in going to see that.
Yeah,
but I'm not just going to see every Leo movie, even though I like Leo, or every Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah,
it's I'm looking at it and be like, that's a story or something I'm interested in.
That's right.
That's kind of shifted over the last.
It's also a lot. There's a lot more choices.
Yeah.
A lot more choices.
It's not like, oh, that's what's out this weekend.
True. You got to win me.
Well, that's here, but this is hitting Disney Plus. This is hitting Peacock. That's
true.
Hitting Paramount. I might watch that. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's different.
Yeah.
It is. It's so tying this all into Star Wars as we're getting kind of closer to wrapping up here.
Is that what this is?
This
about?
Is Star Wars, right? The Star Wars guy?
This
the
is future.
The
cinema guy.
It is. I will say, because we haven't talked a ton about it, but Filoni's new role.
Yeah.
So Filoni. It was announced in one of these articles, maybe it was Vanity Fair, I think it was. Filoni talked about that he is now in the role of, I believe what they call it, Chief Creative Officer, which he describes as.
I thought he did that before.
Yeah, well,
it's official now.
Yeah, so
they asked him anyway. Dave, do you think we should?
He said, no. "Listen, I'm gonna need a new title and a raise if you're gonna keep asking me these things."
He said, "Listen,
I picture Chief Creative. Yeah,
give me the biggest cowboy hat." do I get a bigger cowboy hat?
Give me the biggest cowboy hat and a nice wolf t-shirt.
Yeah, he loves a wolf t-shirt.
Yeah.
He loves a good
doesn't?
Wolf shirt.
Yeah, that's right.
Who
I've got one on under here. I don't know what that was.
Loth wolf.
Yeah, there you go. But what's interesting about his new job, he describes it as, because people like ask, like, what was this in the interview, like, how's this different for what you were doing? And he said, in the past... In these past number of years, I have been involved in things. They like things are brought to me, and I give my input. Usually, very far down the line, though. He said this is usually when the product is very much far in development. They ask for my
now that this
for
is
my
done,
notes.
Dave, what do you think?
Should this do we
and,
do this?
And he
this?
And he said in here, but it this goes beyond now. Like a Jedi does this, a Jedi should do this. He's like, that's kind of what my role was of like.
The
does
canon
this feel
eye,
like
the canon guy?
Keeper of the canon.
He's the canon guy, and does this feel
like the Force mythologist.
Exactly. Are we breaking like tenets of what a Jedi should be? That type of a thing.
Yeah.
While like, yeah, I know we know he's been a producer and he's been, you know, had such a big role in like Mando and all these different things. But with these other shows, we didn't really know. Like, I don't know, like if he had eyes on some of these other shows as much because they didn't really, we never really talked about it. But on here, he said, now I am involved in the creative process at its inception. At the very beginning, I am not someone who is like, you should not do this. Or he said, I'm not telling people what to do. I am here to help them, to best guide them and help their creative vision come to the best possible outcome. So not saying you should do this, but, oh, this is what we want to do. Here's how we need to do it here and help them craft.
What are the parameters around what
is
capable?
Yeah, and I do think that's exciting, having someone that is
it's kind of Feige-esque.
People honestly talk about it being like a Feige-esque role of he's not the head of, I mean, everyone who said any of these people who are like, fire Kathleen Kennedy as head of Lucasfilm and be, Flynn doesn't want to be, do you know what head of Lucasfilm is talking with board members and like shareholders and stuff like that. Like,
he wants to do that.
And he's not, that's not, he feels like he wants to sit there with a sketch pad
world,
and he wants
right.
to think of
wants
ideas.
To draw. And we want him to draw.
Yeah.
So this, I think, is a good, I mean, things sound like a good thing.
He is the closest George Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if George is the Jedi,
he was his Padawan.
Filoni's his Padawan.
Listen, and George isn't showing up to set on Mando without Filoni being
I'm
there.
So comfortable with Filoni keeping it going.
Yeah.
It's great.
Totally.
It's rare to find the creator and then somebody else that dialed in.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I think it's just a testament to not only his respect for Star Wars, but his respect to George and honoring what his vision of Star Wars and the Force and
that's
the mythology
right.
behind everything that Filoni, I mean, you could see it in interviews. He's like, before I make a decision, obviously we want to have some leeway and be able to be creative and maybe open up, you know, the audience's mind to like, oh, is this capable or whatever? But then in our mind, I'm always thinking of, does this go against what George's vision is for the Force? And if so, then it's scrapped. We're not doing
it. And he could still ask. There's going
to
come a
time.
He said,
but there are things where we want to kind of make you think like, oh, I didn't know if this was capable or if this was possible.
Yeah.
But it still fits within that
world between worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good. Yeah.
Or like, I like that he explores the idea of anyone can be a Jedi in some capacity.
Right.
Or like the use the Force.
Which is actually
being
the most
George
Lucas
George,
thing,
yeah.
honestly.
Yeah.
George
said
it's
everybody.
Like learning. George said using the Force is like learning karate. Like, not everyone, or like,
some people have
people can do it, but some
like
are
martial
naturally.
Arts. He said, not everyone is Bruce Lee, and not everyone is naturally gifted at this. But, like, if you work at it, you can get your brown belt. You can get your black
belt. If the Force is in all living, is in everything, then it would make sense that someone.
So, I like it. I think it also helps, you know, not that you need someone who's going to be like, I have to have my hands in every single thing, but it is nice to have someone who, like you said, is the extension of Lucas.
To have a
that is not going to have something that goes
vision.
Not feel wise, but against the tenets of Star Wars. As far as, again, we've talked about past scripts of other films that could have been made, but like actually,
Filoni feels a duty to
feels a duty of like listen, we
within
can
the
do
realm.
These things, but these are things that you cannot break because I know that is not what George intended. And it's not like a character thing or this, but we're not going to
you can
have
make
the
Rebel
big
Moon,
message.
But you're not going to make it.
You're not going to make
it's
it.
It's not
going to
be Star Wars.
You're not going to have the finale. You're not going to have the climax of the final of the Skywalker, of the final Skywalker, of the final Skywalker film end with, I learned all the Jedi were wrong.
Right. That can't
all
be
the Jedi
thing.
Were wrong. You have to embrace not just the light, but embrace the dark in that there is no light or there's no dark, but there's actually just the middle.
Let's
he's
end
like,
by
no,
saying
no.
everything George did was wrong.
Like,
yeah,
he's
yeah,
like,
we're
no,
not doing
no,
that.
That is not at all what George says. Like, the people have moments of their life and they have decisions that feels like that was kind of gray, but the gray is really the moments where they then decide, do I go to the light or the dark?
Clarifying.
They don't say, oh, the gray is
that's
the
where I live.
I live in the gray.
Yeah.
I live in the uncertainty of what decision to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, and again, we bring that up as an example just because I think people, it's common now for people to be like, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that. This is the actual alternate script that was out there because this was the plan. And one of the main reasons it fell through is at the ending.
It made for a cool comic.
I read the whole elements storyboard comic thing of it. And there's a lot in there that I'm like, oh, that would have been awesome. That would have been really cool. And you get to the finale, and I'm like, oh, that actually
can't do that.
Is the only time I've ever seen
Rebel Moon.
It's like one of the only things I've ever seen that is actually does not work in Star Wars because it's anti the whole idea. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't.
No grade,
we want to teach kids, which is the whole thing of George is like, this needs to be a morality. It
needs to be hopeful.
For
it's not
going to
be embracing the dark side.
I'm not going to teach these 10-year-olds. It's a morality tale for 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds.
Lead towards the evil.
That, if you kill, but then also... If you harness the anger and use it in a way to unleash ultimate power, well, now you're a video game character in not Star Wars. Like, that's right. It doesn't work. And evil. So, I think that moving forward, when you look at the films, I understand them being hesitant. Because I'm like, if I was in charge of Lucasfilm right now, I would be a little nervous of, man, the last one wasn't, even though we like it, the last one wasn't super well received. We're taking such time to get the next one out there.
A lot of pressure on
it. It feels like this has to be done. It has to be a hit. Or like it feels like there's pressure of like, we can't come off of a long hiatus and have a flop.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Box office wise, because it's been so long, I think regardless of its reception, it's going to do well box office wise because everyone's going to go see it because it's been so long. Now, does that mean it will be well received or not? I hope so.
Well, Indiana Jones. That's Disney Plus
Indiana
tomorrow.
Indiana Jones.
Is it? Tomorrow?
I really like...
Today? What is today?
Did you see Dial of Destiny?
Haven't seen it.
It hits tomorrow, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really liked that movie.
I liked it.
I liked that movie.
Yeah.
Now, financially, did not do well.
Didn't, yeah.
Yeah.
That's another thing. If you had told me a few years back, like, Harrison's going to come back to do Indy and it's not going to work. Just underperform, you'd be like,
what?
It's too bad.
How? No. Did you get the same Harrison Ford,
the guy? He was another one. If he had a movie out, everybody saw it at one point.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
but it's changed. So,
well,
and I'm changing too. Hello, Star Wars. Hello, Anaheim. I'm old and Canadian now.
Canadian.
He was always Canadian.
Wasn't always old.
He's still young.
Although
he's not old.
No, he's not. Oh, last little piece of news I saw.
Yeah.
Did you see yesterday that said that Hayden Christensen? It was announced that he signed with some big acting agency, and so people are excited because not necessarily Star Wars related, but that sounds like he's making a bigger return into acting and more things because he took a huge hiatus. But I think the
He's in Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon.
And on a positive note for our
take Star Wars characters.
And on a
take
positive
the actors
and put them all in.
That's right.
You're going to be Stanikin.
Your
name is Stan.
Stanikin Mallwalker. This is walking around the mall.
You have a light sword.
But to end on a positive note for our...
The lightsaber.
I know.
Yeah.
Looks interesting.
To end on a positive note for our podcast, it sounds like the love that people have shown Hayden Christensen has maybe...
Good.
Inspired him to get back out
there. He's a great actor.
He's a great actor.
You always joke about it, but life is a house. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
He
plays a young teen. It's young teen angst.
Yeah.
And a new life. And
his acting in Ahsoka was fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome. And
he's great.
I love every single bit.
They're making Jumper too.
Oh,
jumping higher!
Jumping higher!
Actually,
no, I'm just kidding.
Jumping higher.
The movie he was in.
Jumper was great.
Jump 2, White Men Can Jump.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's what it's called.
It was a fun
Jumper 2, White Men Can Jump. I like the the added titles make it funny.
That's funny.
Oppenheimer 2.
Yes.
Everybody's Dead. Oh, that's what goodness. It's called.
Yeah. Well, Nate, where can people find us?
Here on YouTube.
Ahsoka.
Yeah. Hey, we're glad to be back. We're on a little break there, but we're back. So
back better than ever.
Glad to be here talking Star Wars. Appreciate everybody tuning in. But if you made it this far, don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and smash the notification bell.
Smash.
And if you're listening to our podcast on audio wherever you listen.
Don't
to it.
Smash
Spotify.
It if you're listening.
Yeah, don't smash
don't
it.
Don't smash
it gently.
Anything.
This Hit podcast it gently.
But smash.
Yeah, follow
smash.
The pod. Follow the pod. You can find us on audio on pretty much any podcasting.
I love
platform.
Anywhere you find
All
your podcast.
Favorite, yeah, anywhere you can you find podcasts.
You find
we're there.
And if you
Star
like
Wars
seeing
guys.
Us on YouTube.
What is wrong with you?
I like seeing you guys on YouTube.
Comment that. Yes. I like seeing you guys
yeah,
on
what
YouTube.
What is wrong with you?
Let us know what your why? Thoughts are on the future of Star Wars, what projects that have been announced, but we don't know the dates on when they're coming. Which ones you're looking forward to most? Is it Acolyte? Is it Lando, potentially? Rey's movie?
Lando being a film now.
Lando being a film. Yeah. So let us know your thoughts. What are you looking forward to most? We'll catch you guys next time. And as always, may the Force be with you.
For some reason, I'm going to... Just I might be saying that. Are you brainless? I spack.
Ability to speak doesn't make you a...
If you made it this far and you enjoyed that episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and tell a friend about us here at Star Wars, guys. Your support is much appreciated, and it never goes unnoticed. We'll see you all in the next episode.